Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday. You know, Wednesday, the Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Weather's getting nice in Los Angeles, I've got to be honest with you. We're almost getting smug here. It's just turning into the year. Our teams are all winning. The weather's perfect. It's nice. By the way, tip of the cap to L.A. County. Vaccine numbers are incredible.
We're doing much better, yes.
Much better. L.A. County now doing much better. Tip of the cap to everybody here surrounding us. UCLA had a great year. I don't want to get smug here.
It's important to stay humble.
Stay humble. Got rid of my mustache. I feel better about myself. That's the voice of Joy Taylor, of course. I want to talk about fear for a second. All of us, everybody should go see a therapist. I'm not talking every day. I'm not talking every month. I'm not talking every year. But if you have troubles, go to a therapist. Go to somebody professionally that can listen to you. You can ramble on, pity yourself, be a victim, whatever it is. We're all at some level. And the only people who deny this are the ones that deal with more of it. We're all dealing with the fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of failure. There's a new term called FOMO, fear of missing out. Young kids don't want to miss out. So they go hang out, even though it's not time efficient. Then they don't have time to study. Fear of missing out, fear of rejection. Jerry Jones is different. He has a fear of being boring and irrelevant. And he fears boring more than being 7-9 or 8-8. Story out today, Jerry Jones has fallen in love with an amazing tight end, Kyle Pitts from Florida. By the way, that makes two of us. Also, if you're GM in the NFL and you're not in love with Kyle Pitts, then go work at Kinko's because he's unbelievable. That said, let's say the Cowboys do move up and get Kyle Pitts. I actually get it from Jerry Jones' perspective. First of all, Dak's numbers and productivity are going to go up, right? Jerry Jones got a lot of heat. He acknowledged it, paying Dak $40 million a year. It would, to some degree, validate Dak's contract. Hey, I paid him $40 million a year. He's a Pro Bowler. And if Dallas doesn't win the Super Bowl because they don't draft defense, well, we're not going to blame Jerry. That's not what we do in America. We'll blame Dak and Mike McCarthy. From Jerry's perspective, I draft Kyle Pitts. It validates Dak's contract. We score more points. We get talked about. More highlights. More merchandise. I get more free press. Kyle Pitts is going to get, in Dallas' offense, get 75, 80 catches, a half dozen touchdowns. Not going to take him away. They have too many good wide receivers. You can't double him. From Jerry's perspective, and I don't get blamed if we don't win the Super Bowl. I mean, look at last year. Cowboy fans fell in love with Dallas drafting CeeDee Lamb. It was the only thing they didn't need in the draft was a wide receiver. And they drafted one. And he's a good player. And at the end of the year, when the Cowboys were average, nobody blamed Jerry. Nobody blamed Jerry, even though that was Jerry's pick. Jerry was smiling, laughing on his yacht. Nobody blamed Jerry. They blamed Mike McCarthy and Andy Dalton and Mike Nolan and global warming and the tax rates. Nobody blamed Jerry Jones. So from Jerry's perspective, I totally get it. It would be doubling down on what the Cowboys already are. Flashy, fun, and interesting. It would not solve their personnel issues. But the reality is, Jerry, we all have a fear of something. Jerry fears being irrelevant. Most of these owners fear being irrelevant. But for Jerry, a marketing guy, a wildcatter, you know, he's always been an aggressive guy, kind of a maverick. He pushes back. He wanted to build the world's biggest stadium. He just doesn't want to be irrelevant. And you draft an edge rusher, you move down in the draft. What Dallas should really do is move down in the draft. That's what they should do. They've got like number 10, get down to about 16, 17, 18, get more picks. There's plenty of good corners, mid to late first round, second round, third round. There's edge rushers all over this draft from pick 14 on, pick 15, pick 16 on. That's what Dallas should do. But Jerry does not like to move back at the top of the first round. He likes to be talked about, and I would not be shocked. Chris Mortensen reported this. I know Chris. You know Chris. Chris knows football. I would not be shocked if Dallas moved up to get Kyle Pitts. And it, don't kid yourself. It would validate that $40 million for Dak, because Dak's numbers would absolutely pop. I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I often do. Green Bay Packers quarterback. Aaron Rodgers wants to be the new host of Jeopardy. He has acknowledged it. He said it yesterday on the Pat McAfee show. He said, yes, I want to be the host. He came out and said, listen, I have 187 work days a year in Green Bay. I only would need 46 days to work for Jeopardy. I would like to do it. And, you know, it'd be easy to say, he's not as committed as Tom Brady or Russell Wilson. But I want you to think about this. If you are frustrated with anything in your life, relationship, wife, husband, work, kids, anything, parents, anything, you have two options. This is all you can do. You can keep denying reality, or you can create a new reality. So Aaron Rodgers, and you all know this, you follow football, we all know it here, is frustrated with Green Bay. They draft Jordan Love instead of getting defensive help. They won't get him a number two wide receiver on the free agent market. They couldn't retain Corey Linsley, the Pro Bowl center. They couldn't keep Jared Cook years ago. They got rid of his quarterback coach. Remember, Van Pelt didn't tell him. They couldn't get J.J. Watt. We know he's frustrated. That's not an argument. So he can deny the reality of Green Bay, or he can create a new reality. And I think Aaron Rodgers is creating a new reality. And I think it's mentally very healthy. He's saying, Green Bay, you're mostly committed to me. And now, I'm mostly committed to you. Green Bay is saying, we love you, Aaron, but we see the future. And Aaron's saying, I love you, Green Bay, but I see the future too. I think it's very healthy. Look at it from Aaron Rodgers' perspective. Tom Brady has an all-star team around him. Drew Brees, last 3 years, had an all-star team around him. Patrick Mahomes has an all-star team around him. How the hell can they afford Joe Tooney? Jared Goff had an all-star team around him. Russell Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo. And Aaron Rodgers is like, I'm the MVP. I'm 37. And they can't retain the best center in football? What? It was a fifth-round pick. You didn't pay him anything for 4 years. So you can just put your head down, deny the reality of what Green Bay does with Aaron Rodgers, or you can create a new reality. And I think it's very healthy, and I think that's, I mean, you can keep doing it over and over. Like, if you married some guy and he still goes on Vegas weekends with his boys and he still goes on golf weekends and disappears and leaves you with the kids, you can deny that's who he is, or you can go have some fun too with the girls in Vegas, or you're going to resent him. There's only two options when dealing with frustration. Deny it, it's not happening, or create a new reality. And Aaron's saying, yeah, Green Bay's mostly committed to me. Mostly, but not like Tampa is to Tom, or the Saints are to Breeze, or Kansas City is Mahomes, or it appears Buffalo is with Josh Allen. I mean, they're committed mostly. So Aaron's saying, I'm committed mostly. I mean, the Packers draft Jordan Love. We love you, but we're looking to the future. And Aaron does a game show and says, I love you, but I want to do this for about 60 days a year. I think it's totally healthy. Good for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, think about Aaron Rodgers. He just wins the MVP. He wins the MVP. You think they would be doubling down on him. Instead, they couldn't keep their center or get J.J. Watt or pay for a second receiver. And in his world, he's like, time out here. Have you seen what Tom has and what Breeze had and what Mahomes has? And the Bills just got Josh Allen another wide receiver? First it was Cole Beasley, then Stephon Diggs, then Emmanuel Sanders. Rebuilt the offensive line. Are we dealing with another bank here? Are they doing overseas stuff? So I actually, when Aaron does this, I don't know if he'd get the Jeopardy job or not. Listen, Michael Strahan got the Regis job, and he wasn't a star quarterback. He's just a funny, popular defensive lineman. I have no problem with Aaron Rodgers getting the Jeopardy job. I think I'd probably get him. He'd get talked about more than Ken Jennings. But listen, man, if you're frustrated in any part of your life, you can put your head down and deny it or create a new reality. Good for Aaron. You know, I am so – at some point, Aaron Rodgers is going to have to admit that I'm his ally. That's like the 38th nice thing I've said about Aaron.
You've turned a corner on Aaron Rodgers, though.
Well, no. When I feel like – I always say I want to put myself in the shoes of the athlete.
Right.
I would be frustrated as blank if I was Aaron Rodgers. And I was looking at – I mean, listen, here at Fox, you and I. Now, I am pissed because we no longer have free food. But our staff is bigger than every other staff at rival networks.
Yes.
Our people are unbelievable. Because we're in Los Angeles, we have union workers around us who are way better than average, way better than the average worker. So we have a great support system here. I mean, they spend money on us. Our set, the average simulcast set is a broom closet. But if you and I were working out of a crappy set and had lousy people, and our contemporaries, the people around us, had our set and our budget and our staff, after a while you start resenting it. And I look at Aaron and I think, okay, the only thing that's going to keep me away from resenting Green Bay is creating a new reality, which is I'm about 85% into you, just like you're about 80-85% into me.
Yeah, I mean, that's how commitment works.
That's right.
And I don't think that this makes Aaron Rodgers any less committed to football.
No. But it's a mental health issue at some point.
No, I agree.
I'm going to drive myself freaking crazy.
He should do what makes him happy.
Yeah, like be 85% committed and then 15% of your life, go marry that beautiful actress and go do Jeopardy and have a life. Because by the way, they got rid of your quarterback coach and would not give you a phone call. They could not re-sign Jared Cook. They could not retain a Pro Bowl center. Have you seen the all-star team Tom Brady's got down there? It's like the Globetrotters. They got the dribbler, the half-court shot guy, the behind-the-back guy, the dunk guy. It's like, it's an all-star team. It's ridiculous. And everybody else is becoming the Washington Generals. I'm saving this. And by the way, we've seen what Green Bay is when Aaron doesn't play. Terrible. Okay. I mean, Tampa wasn't terrible when Tom wasn't there. Tom took them to another level, but they got players.
Yeah, I'm with you. The idea that they are looking towards the future when you have the NFL MVP currently playing for you at the quarterback position is really silly.
I almost felt like I helped America with the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was very insightful.
Yeah, I got you through a lot of stuff, America. Yeah. And for that, you get nothing but watch me eat a sandwich in an hour and a half.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So it's very interesting. The Atlanta Falcons general manager wants to draft a quarterback, according to Chris Mortensen. The new coach, Arthur Smith, says, no. Matt Ryan's fine. He's 35. He's got a lot of good years left. I agree with the coach, not the GM. So anytime in the moment, like my wife and I, she's struggling with something. I always say, this is my rule. If I would have given you what's happening today 10 years ago, go back a decade, and I said, this is our reality today, would you take it? And my wife, we got 6 kids, 2 are mine, 4 hers, mixed family, right? And sometimes she'd be like, oh, the day-to-day vagaries of having kids, right? The struggles and the hardships. And I always say to her, okay, if I'd have told you 10 years ago, my son is this just joyful, loving tech whiz. We got one in Vermont Prep Academy. One played lacrosse in college. One's a chef. One got an academic scholarship at a university. And one is going to an amazing school out east. Would you have bought that 10 years ago? I know where we were with these kids 10 years ago. I'd have bought that 10 years ago. Don't get caught up in the day-to-day struggles because raising kids is hard. Like, right, you're going to have bad weeks. You know, the old joke is the days are long and the years fly by with kids. But the days, let me tell you, folks, they're long. They're long days with kids. They're kids, right? They're learning. They're growing. Their brains don't function completely yet. They're not all developed. And so the guy that wants to get rid of Matt Ryan, let me ask you this. I'm not even going to count Matt Ryan with Kyle Shanahan when he won the MVP. I'm not going to count that. I'm not going to count that. For my argument, I should, I won't. Because nobody gets the number one offensive coordinator for most of their career. I'm not going to count it. I'm going to go the last 4 years after Kyle Shanahan. Matt Ryan, 96 passer rating, 66% completion percentage, 286 yards per game, fourth in the NFL, 2.5 times the touchdowns as picks. By the way, that's with two coordinators, Dirk Cutter and Sark. That's not ideal. So he's had multiple systems to learn. Matt Ryan's problem is stylistically, he does not look like what we want our quarterbacks to look like now. We have these big, strong-armed mobile quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Mahomes. And if you don't have one of them, you're like, wait, I don't like that. And I get it. You know, grass always greener. But the division Matt Ryan plays in, and this league's about winning your division first, has been dominated by pocket quarterbacks. Breeze and Matt Ryan have won the division each of the last 5 years, and now it's owned by Brady, another pocket guy. Atlanta's only done one thing well the last 3 to 4 years, pass. They do nothing else well. They pass. And Matt Ryan, in the last 4 years, has led the NFL in attempts, completions, and passing yards. Now think about that. That goes back to my initial 10-year argument. Do you believe if you're the GM of Atlanta, if you draft Trey Lance, and that's reportedly who he wants, and I think he's talented. I like Trey Lance. But do you believe that Trey Lance, in his entire career for a 4-year period, will lead the NFL in attempts, completions, and passing yards? Even if he's good, that's highly unlikely. Of the 131 quarterbacks drafted since 2010, 11 have been hits. 11. So ask yourself. Ask yourself. Would you have years ago when Kyle Shanahan left, half decade ago, if I said to you, yeah, Matt's going to lead the league in attempts, completions, and passing yards, and basically be the only positive element to your football team. You want to get rid of that? Derek Carr is the only thing saving the Raiders. Matt Ryan's the only thing saving Atlanta. Go look at the 14 quarterbacks who made the playoffs last year. I would take Matt Ryan over at least half of them. Phillip Rivers, Big Ben, Baker, Alex Smith, Trubisky, Goff, and even Tannehill. Because I think Tannehill, now that Arthur Smith is gone, will go down. Again, if you live in the moment, Matt Ryan stylistically doesn't look like what you kind of think the NFL is becoming. And I get that. I absolutely get that. This team does nothing well, though, except pass. That's all they do well. That is it. And Trey Lance could be terrific. But Atlanta could literally. Sam Darnold got 3 picks. 2 great ones. Do you know what you could get for that 4th pick to move out? You could get multiple first rounders. Outside of one defensive tackle, you don't have anybody on defense anybody's afraid of.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's always good if you're a billionaire or a major corporation to have an element of your business that's losing money. So if you're a billionaire and you have 50 companies, it's okay to have a bad one. because eventually you can sell it off and then and write it off so it lowers your tax rate, right?
Yes.
So you know that's there's an upside to a bad company you can sell off and get a write off, right? So I saw this story. James Harden to miss at least 10 days for the Brooklyn Nets. That's interesting.
Okay, I gave it to him.
James Harden never gets hurt.
No worries.
Ever. I mean, sometimes he's got a little pudge to him. I'm not sure if he has hamstrings. He's just like he's just a great offensive player. He's built differently. Oof. Though all of a sudden, suddenly he's hurt. The exact same time Kevin Durant comes back. Well, that is remarkably ironic. One of the great advantages, and I don't know how exactly we got here, but one of the great advantages the NFL has over the NBA, there's not a huge gap between the best teams and the worst. I mean, hell, the Jags beat the Colts last year. The Raiders went into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. The Jets beat the Rams. The Bengals crushed Tennessee and beat the Steelers. Like that, this is every week. The Bears humiliate Tampa. Okay, in the NBA, it's different. The bottom third of the league is awful. And I'm not talking two or three teams. I'm talking like eight. Minnesota's awful. Houston, Washington, Orlando, Detroit, Toronto. And they're not only bad, at times it looks like they're not trying to win in the second half of the season. What does that mean? In the NFL, there is an urgency you have to play. Even if you're a star player and you're playing a 2-7 team, get your butt out there. The Giants last year with a new coach, no preseason, almost beat the Rams in L.A. with Sean McVay. You got to play. There's an urgency to play. In the NBA, there's not. The Lakers last six games without AD and LeBron playing crappy teams, they're 4-2. The Brooklyn Nets without Kevin Durant, 19-4, as Joy said earlier, is the best record in the league. And they're not playing KD. There's games they're not playing. They're not playing Kyrie or KD. So my theory on this is, and I used to tell, you know, the NBA ratings have been down for several years, last couple especially. And people can blame whatever they want to blame. They can blame, you know, the too much politics, Black Lives Matter, all that stuff. You can blame it on cable. My takeaway is this. We're all more caffeinated. Our lives, there's more choices. You have got to create urgency so the games feel important to not just me, but to your stars. But when AD and LeBron and KD and Harden don't have to play, and they don't feel like they have to play, well, why the hell should I care? I know Mahomes with a broken toe, he gets concussed during a game. He is screaming with Andy Reid to get back on the field against Cleveland in a game they lead and control. They're arguing with each other. He's got a concussion. He's got his toes falling off. I'm not blaming KD, AD. I'm not blaming LeBron. I'm not blaming Harden. This is a strategy. There's no reason to play these guys. Just get them rested for the playoffs. We've seen Harden be overwhelmed physically in the playoffs. He's exhausted. Rest him for 10 days. We've seen AD and KD be brittle. Rest him. LeBron now second injury, 2-3 years. Rest him. There's no reason to play these guys. It's a strategy. But the problem is the Lakers have eight national, their next eight games are national TV games. Why watch? They're not playing their stars. And so, I mean, five of the best eight players in the NBA are on Brooklyn and the Lakers. Brooklyn's saying, we won without Kevin Durant. Kevin's back. James, take 10 days off. Get rested. They're going to win. They're going to keep winning their games. And so, you know, I told my daughter, it was either my worst parenting moment or my best. But I remember the only time I've ever made my daughter cry. It was about, she's 20. She was about 10 or 11 years old. And she went and she was playing basketball in Connecticut. She was on a really good team, really well-coached team with a bunch of good girls. And they were a very good team. And she just played like crap. And she just didn't care. Like you could just tell she didn't care. And on the way home, about a 10-minute drive, I just chewed her out. I said, if you don't care, then I'm not going on all these road trips. I'll buy in when you buy in. I said, but you don't care. Why am I driving all over the state in the winter to lousy gyms in the middle of nowhere I can't find on GPS, giving up my Sundays? If you don't care, if you do, I'm in. But you got to care first before I care. In the NFL, stars have to play hurt. You got to be out there. So I'm in because you're in. In the NBA, When the stars don't sense urgency, why should I watch? And I love the NBA. I'm an NBA guy. But I'll see him mostly in the playoffs because I know guys in the playoffs play hurt. You want to make a bet that James Harden's hamstring's good in the playoffs? You and I want to make a bet on that? Want to make a bet KD plays in the playoffs? I mean, again, if you don't show urgency, why should I as a consumer? If you don't show urgency as a child or a kid, why do I drive you all over the state to play softball? I'm not going to. But once you do, I'm totally in. And I made her cry, and I felt terrible. And it was either an awful parenting moment, but it's been something that we talk about all the time, my daughter and I, which is if you're into something, I'm into it. But you gotta love stuff first for me to give up weekends and time and hours and money and commitment. You got to care first. Because I can't care more than you about your career, your life, your friends, your sports.
I think it's a good lesson.
All right. Well, I don't know. She didn't think about it. It was great at the moment.
What does she think about it now?
No, it's fine. She comes and visits me all the time, so she must still like me.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Bring on my buddy co-host First Things First, Nick Wright, now joining us live. All right, so the Aaron Rodgers situation's interesting. I said, listen, if your employer's only about 80% committed to you, then don't bang your head against the wall. Be 80% committed to them. Go do Jeopardy. I got no problems with it. Your take on the whole Jeopardy thing with Aaron, Nick?
Yeah, I think that there is actually a little more than meets the eye here in that Rodgers has been unsuccessful in one thing, and that is leveraging the Packers to do what he wants. You remember a few years ago, he couldn't even keep the quarterback's coach he wanted in Alex Van Pelt. Like, who are you worried about the quarterback's coach coaching other than Rodgers? He wanted him kept. They didn't do it. Obviously, last year, they went right at him in the draft and not only drafting a quarterback, but trading up to draft a quarterback. And this offseason, he was like, hey, I want to make sure we hope to bring back these few guys. One of them was his center, Corey Linsley, and his center, Corey Linsley, is no longer his center. He plays for someone else now. So I just wonder if Rodgers not only wants to host Jeopardy, but wants to use Jeopardy as a potential leverage point with the Packers. Because at last check, that job can pay upwards of $10 million a year. And that's not as much as he makes playing quarterback for the Packers, but it's a hell of a lot easier. It's less travel. It's less days working. No one hits you. And I'm not saying that he is threatening to walk away from football to go host Jeopardy, but it wouldn't shock me if he wants the Packers to be a little concerned with that when they're making a decision like, well, what do we do with the draft? Do we call up Cleveland and try to trade for Odell Beckham, as I've been encouraging them to do? What do we do with Jordan Love? Do we trade Jordan Love to try to get another draft pick to make up for that mistake? All of these things are things I think we know Aaron would like them to do, and he's been unable thus far to pressure them into doing it. I just wonder if Jeopardy could be a cudgel in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, listen, John Wooden and Joe Paterno never really made big money coaching their respective schools, and they're legends. Why? Because they never threatened to leave. The bottom line is John Calipari is ready to leave at a moment's notice. John Calipari.
That's right.
Leverage matters. Even if your employers, you got to make them a little uncomfortable, and Aaron, to this point, has
it. A little nervous.
Yeah. Listen, I don't love Matt Ryan, but I will say this. Stylistically, he doesn't look like the league going forward. But if you just look at data, all Atlanta does well last 4 years is the Matt Ryan throw the ball down the field thing. They're awful at everything else. Yeah. Could I make an argument? What hurts him is stylistically, he doesn't look like the league. It's not the truth, which is he's the only reason they're not 2-14 the last 3-4 years.
I think that's fair. I also understand if Atlanta fans say, all right, whether we get Kyle Pitts or the number one defensive player or Ja'Marr Chase, whatever it is, this era has run its course. I understand why they might want to turn the page. But Colin, if we can stay on this for a moment, I want to ask you a question, because this is the thing about this year's draft that I don't think enough people are discussing. We know quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3. There is some speculation about who it's going to be, but we know that it's going to be that position taken 1, 2, 3. So that's only happened twice before, the McNabb couch draft and the Archie Manning Pastorini draft in the modern era. We've never had quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. And we've never had 4 or 5 star quarterbacks taken in the first round of a draft.
Right.
And so if I'm Atlanta, I'm sitting there thinking, what are the odds 4 franchise quarterbacks come out of this draft? Historically speaking, they're about 0%. Now, could they be banking on one of the teams in front of them making a mistake? I suppose, but I wouldn't want to use the 4th overall pick on the 4th overall quarterback.
Right.
When you know quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3 already. It just feels like this year we have to acknowledge the history of first-round quarterbacks are about a 40% hit rate, which if 5 of them go this year means 3 of those 5 teams are going to end up disappointed, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, I listen, I've said this before. Atlanta is one of those teams that outside of one defensive lineman, they need like 8 players, almost all on defense, and it's a lousy quarterback draft in college next year. So this 4th pick could be the last time in 2 years a desperate team that needs a quarterback could get one. That pick. I think it's an unbelievably attractive pick for a Chicago, a Washington, a Denver. Okay, the Mac Jones pick, and again, I'm not anti-pocket guy, but what I think about Mac Jones is if you've never trailed in the second half of a college game you've started, that is not reality. And these Alabama quarterbacks live a world of comfort, the opposite of what NFL quarterback is, unless you're Brady or Mahomes. Your takeaway on Mac Jones 3, I think it's a smokescreen. I don't think they're taking him.
You and I think, are the last people alive who think it's a smokescreen. And I just think it's a smokescreen because I think Lynch and Shanahan are smarter than this. And it's going to sound like I'm killing Mac Jones. I'm not meaning to. But Colin, you don't talk about it a ton on the show, but at least at one point in your life, I think your favorite sport was college football.
Yeah.
And I know you watch a ton of it every Saturday.
Yep.
At any point in your entire, the last 2 years or the last year watching Alabama, watching college football, did it ever occur to you that Mac Jones kid, that's a top 3 pick of the draft? It seemed like nobody thought this. Before this season, there was speculation over whether or not the 5-star freshman was going to take his job. During this season, there was speculation that he could come back to school. And now I'm supposed to believe he's better than Justin Fields. Now I'm supposed to believe San Francisco thinks he is worth 3 first-round picks. Now, the people that are reporting on this, Colin, seem to be in lockstep. Lawrence, Wilson, Mac Jones is the 1, 2, 3. It just is almost incomprehensible to me that that is what San Francisco wants to do. That they are tired of a guy with a defined ceiling, somewhat physically limited in Jimmy Garoppolo. And so now they're going to move on to a guy who's physically limited with a somewhat defined ceiling in Mac Jones. It is shocking to me that this seems to be where it's going. But it will be one hell of a smokescreen, Colin, because they seem to have everyone but you and me convinced that that pick is as good as in.
Well, I have to ask an NBA question. We got 3 minutes left. I see Zion Williamson on my sheet here, and I love Zion. Got hurt, came back very good. What are your what's rumbling around upstairs with you and Zion Williamson?
Well, so let me take a step back on it because, and it'll set the context for tonight. I think you could argue that if you were to say, give me the most dominant season in NBA history, so not best player, but the player who had the most dominant, unstoppable season. You would have Wilt's 50-point-per-game season, obviously. Jordan in 92, some would argue. LeBron in 2013, some would argue. My argument for the most dominant season ever might be Shaquille O'Neal in 2001. He put it all together. That team was unstoppable. They came a game away from sweeping through the playoffs. Why am I talking about Shaq? Well, tonight, Zion is going to break a 2001 Shaquille O'Neal record. 25 straight games of at least 20 points on 50% shooting. He'll break that record tonight against the Nets, because if the Nets aren't going to do something, it's not going to be stop Zion Williamson from scoring at a high efficiency level. And I think we have become already numb to what he's doing. He hasn't played 100 NBA games. He's in year two. He's 2 years out of high school. And what he's doing on a bad team that guys know they just have to stop him is every single night giving you 20-plus on super high efficiency, to the level of which we've only seen one time ever, and it was Shaq's most dominant season ever, maybe the most dominant season anyone's ever had. So he's on national TV tonight. They'll probably lose. They'll probably lose by a lot. But nobody can stop him.
Yep.
And I just think it's almost already become mundane what he's doing. He hadn't had a bad game in 2 months.
Yeah.
And that's just not supposed to happen.
And he's also such a joyful kid and a joyful player that I've said this. I think he is the face of the league outside of LeBron. I don't think he's the second best player, but he's relatable and
that's
joyful.
Right.
I think, you know, a lot of these NBA stars, they're kind of different cats. Zion feels like a guy, you'd walk into a local YMCA, he'd be playing,
that's
and
right.
He'd be like, get out of here, let's play a game. I want to play. Your shoe's broken.
He's not jaded.
Nope.
He's not jaded. He's not cynical. He seems to be enjoying himself. And last night he had a humble 34 on 67% and nobody cares. He's unbelievable.
Nick Wright, good talking to you, bud.